So are you afraid of the dark? Calvin and Hobbes are in bed for the night, lights out, drifting off to sleep, when Calvin jumps up in the bed and says he has to go to the bathroom. And he puts his leg over the edge of the bed and starts to get down out of bed onto the floor, when suddenly from under the bed comes the sound of the smacking of lips, and something evil says, "Dibs on the soft parts, you can gnaw the bones." A different voice protests, "No fair, you got the soft parts last time." And then a scuffle of snarling and growling and scratching and biting breaks out under the bed. Calvin, terrified, instead of getting out of bed in the dark to go to the bathroom, jumps back down under the covers and pulls the covers over his head and slips down as far as he can, much to the horror of Hobbes, who moves over as far from Calvin as he can get on the other side of the bed. Are you afraid of the dark? I once had an elderly parishioner, Rosalie, who was terrified of the dark. Rosalie was dreadfully afraid of the idea of being buried in a dark casket. And in her ancient age, she was well up into her 90s, and before we were done, she was over into her hundreds. And she had, in her old age, Wesley, a favorite nephew, looking after her and her two sisters. And so terrified was Rosalie of the grave that she asked Wesley to install electric lighting in her casket. And that was 25 or more years ago. I officiated the funeral. I do not remember about the electric light. I really don't. Probably the bill hasn't even been paid on it. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be saved." We read about John the Baptist just now. John the Baptist disclaims any hint that he is the Christ, the Messiah. In fact, he points to Jesus as the one who has come to save. Sadly, our longing for a Savior has diminished in my lifetime as we become less and less a people who see ourselves needing a religious foundation to life and hereafter. And more we'd like to describe ourselves as spiritual but not religious. Spiritual but not religious, which basically, whether you agree or not, means no organized religion for me. I'm not going to church with a bunch of hypocrites. I can do it for myself and by myself. Not religious, but spiritual, as in, and you may remember this, as in Spacey, Ditzy, share a cup of tea with Goldie the Ditz on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In 40 years ago. I'm sorry if you missed it. Are you afraid of the dark? World-famous scientist Stephen Hawking, an outspoken atheist who has lived with the prospect of death in any moment, early death, nearly all his life, says there is no God and there is no heaven. Hawking says heaven is a fairy story for those who are afraid of the dark. Are you afraid of the dark? Is that why you believe? I don't think so. I don't think it is. There's a book, a little book, offered as a true story of a three-year-old boy, he was almost four at the time, who during an emergency appendectomy died and went to heaven and came back and later described that to his astonished father. The name of the book, if you haven't seen it, is Heaven is for Real. Is heaven for real? Or in extremis, does the brain mess with us? Is heaven for real? The yeses cannot prove it's true except by faith and blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, for a foretaste of glory divine. And the noes cannot prove it's false. And so you will not know for sure until you exhale that last breath, that last time. So choose. Choose for yourself. Choose now. Faith is a choice. Why would you choose no? Most of us choose life over death, both here and hereafter. And I ask you this morning, why would you call tails when there's just as likely to come up heads? over against Stephen Hawking in a fairly recent survey, 92% of Americans said they believe in God, and 74% said they believe there is a heaven. But despite what Hawking says, not many of us are believers because we are afraid of the dark. Rather, in faith, we're standing on the promises of God. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You can choose for yourself this morning. I do not mock or scoff at those who dismiss my religion as nonsense, because after all, this is the Episcopal Church. You are meant to get to your faith by reason. Use your head. You do not have to check your brain at the door when you come in. I've studied a lot. I've read and discussed and talked a lot with other people, and I'm standing on the promise because it makes sense to me. So then what's all this morning about the Lamb of God proclaimed by John the Baptist? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. You know this, at the center of our liturgy, traditionally, before coming up to the altar for Holy Communion, we say a confession of sin. We are praying to God the Father through the Lamb of God to forgive our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. If you are spiritual but not religious, be my guest. You can forgive yourself, or you can hide in spiritual blindness and say that you have no sin. And I've told you this about this woman before. A woman in our parish in Pennsylvania used to shake her finger at the rector every single Sunday morning as she stomped out the door saying, I wish you'd stop having that confession of sin. I am not a sinner. Hear the word of God. If we say that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we are faithful and just, confess our sins, God forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. My friend, if you are not a sinner, you really don't need to come here anymore, because if you are not a sinner, Jesus did not come to save you. Jesus came to save the lost. He said so himself. The Son of Man came to save the lost. Luke 19:10. That's me, a sinner. And how? How does he save? Behold the Lamb of God, broken on the cross of Calvary, and repentance for your sins and mine, that we may be made acceptable in God's sight. The Lamb of God, Christ our Passover, sacrificed for us. You'll hear these words in the liturgy in just a moment. In Jesus you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. That's what we're here to celebrate this morning. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Hallelujah. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. O Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be saved. We're not afraid of the dark. We're not afraid of the grave. O Lamb of God that takest away the sins of the world, grant us peace.